Thank you, Anastas, for this nice and friendly introduction. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say mentor, maybe a friend, better, nicer. I don't know. So yeah, thank you for the nice introduction, and I'll present the history of the two decades of Southeast European collaboration. It is really nice to see all of you here. Many of you have been with us for the last 20 years. After such a long time, we're together, and this is really what counts here. So when we say the region, these are various pieces of the larger puzzle. So we have the EU member states, such as Greece, Cyprus, Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, Croatia, Slovenia. At different phases, they were partners in this collaboration. Then the Western Balkans. At some points, we had also the Eastern Mediterranean, including Turkey. And then the Eastern Partnership countries, including the Southern Caucasus, are also part of our let's say, grouping of collaborative countries in this region. So when you look at the map, it is quite big. So the main really development here is that we have a regional platform, yeah, which of various technologies that I will talk about and touch them in different parts of the speech, that were built over the last 20 years through a series of different projects. So this is a regional collaboration, yeah, but it's also a springboard for joining wider European initiatives and a platform for being more inclusive. So as Istvan was saying in his speech as well, there is a certain gap there that exists. This gap could be like an innovation or technology gap, but also there is a funding gap coming from the side of the Commission, and these two gaps have to be bridged, and we are trying to bridge these gaps to provide equal opportunities for all the technologists and the scientists in the region. Yeah? So this is really the key driving force behind these initiatives. Yeah? So we have a close and very wide partnership. Yeah? So the core of this partnership is the service provisioning partners, so national research and education networks, or different forms of national consortia which deal with computing initiatives, cloud, grid, HPC, consortia of the providers per country. Then we also have open science communities, research institutes, and universities in our collaboration. And then the policymakers also, yeah. So ministries and research councils, they were also involved at different points in our common work. So there is this series of photos here. So on the first photo, you see Andreas here from Cyprus, who is explaining what is a supercomputer to some school children. And the next photo, you have Emmanuel from Bulgaria, who is explaining to Commissioner Gabriel what is a supercomputer. And then we have some other policymakers at the bottom. So yes, a wide and really strong and close partnership we have. So this is the timeline of the last two decades of these projects. I will touch on different technologies briefly, but the idea here is that we, in different technologies, which are shown in the layers, we're building these kind of regional platforms, yeah, and joining up to wider European initiatives. So over the two decades, we had, I think, 8 or 9 projects in the field. So here are some initiatives. So it started in 2004 with the network. Serene project 1 and 2, we have built together inter-NRN connectivity in the region and provided the giant links. Very much related, let's say, to the work of Nordunet somehow, and René is also here. So he remembers this story. So we also had some cross-border fibers established through these initiatives and some studies towards the availability of these cross-border fibers through a Greek plan for reconstruction of the Balkans, but that was a long time ago. And as a result of these networking collaborations, we have set up sustainable national networks in all the countries in the region. All the countries joined GEANT, and we have some cross-border fibers too. We had a series of initiatives also dealing with the high-throughput computing grid. Yeah, so we built the regional grid infrastructure, high-throughput computing. We built national grid initiatives in all the countries in the region. And we linked together the user communities to use these high-throughput computing infrastructures. And as a result, so we have sustainable national grids, regional coordination, and all countries eventually joined EGI. We had a number of initiatives in high-performance computing as well. So HPC joined together supercomputing centers in the region and provided cross-border access to the scientists in the region to these supercomputers. We had an initiative which joined together the policymakers in, I think there was 10 countries in the region, where they defined common strategies and agendas and signed an MOU on long-term cooperation as well. So again, the policymaker linking was happening there. And then we also had a VSIM project, which was like an incubator for this current Nifos Euros project, which I think Gergely, who is here, was saying, oh, it's a mini ELSC before ELSC was defined what it was. So that was one nice comment then, maybe 5-6 years ago. So just showing snapshot of these different technologies that I mentioned that the projects dealt with. Yeah. So the network, here is the snapshot of the first CRAN, I think, topology, and a snapshot of the study of cross-border fibers. So as I said, all the countries there built NRNs through these two phases of this CRAN project and joined up with Jeanne, and now they're equal partners in Jeanne. The high throughput computing grid, just showing the sites for high throughput computing, grid sites in the region. So there were 14 countries and altogether 43 sites. They were distributed across the region, these sites, and they were linked together in common operations. So we were sharing the responsibility between the countries for operations of these sites. So this was really another very good cohesive work by our technical teams. High-performance computing. At the time when HPC project started, we had three top 500 machines at the time. One was in Hungary, one was in Bulgaria, and one was in Greece, if I'm not mistaken. So these supercomputers were then, again, linked together with common operational and access schemes, and we provided access to scientists in the region to use these supercomputers. And when I say about the usage here, what is important is that there is regional cross-border usage. So that means that the users from Albania can come and use a supercomputer in Bulgaria, together, collaborating together with the Armenians on a particular scientific problem. So here are some graphs. They're not immediately clear, but basically it shows in these bigger bar charts that the cross-border usage, so the scientists from not from that country are using the resources and services of another country. Yeah? So this is really a very good achievement that we have an open, let's say, access to these infrastructures to all the researchers in the region. And you can go and access any machine that you want at that time anywhere across the border without any stringent, deals, I would say. Yeah? There is a long-term memorandum of understanding on cross-border usage which supports this, but there is this air of collaboration that is built between the scientists who access these resources, and this is what facilitates these kind of results. So this is really a very important thing. You will see also further on in the conference how this cross-border usage of the resources is also achieved through the open call of for use of NIFOS services, for example, and this will be presented in a number of different presentations, and actual scientific work, which is the most important thing that you will see also in dedicated sessions in this conference. So when we look ahead a little bit to this high-performance computing, we have a Daedalus installation coming up in Greece. So this is a south-used European EuroHPC petascale machine, which was funded by, a joint funding of the Greek state through RRF and matching funds from EuroHPC of 35%, so some 35 million euro installation, where we have GRNET and our partners from Cyprus, Northern Macedonia, and Montenegro joining up in a common installation. So more details about this upcoming regional collaboration for high-performance computing. Valia will talk about this tomorrow in her presentation. Also, we'll have some insight of the Hungarian petascale installations also tomorrow. Apart from Hungary, there is also a petascale machine in Slovenia. There's a petascale machine in Bulgaria. Something that could set a ground for regional HPC collaboration beyond this Daedalus, which will be deployed in Greece. Also, we hope, and as soon as the other countries in the region, such as Albania, join EuroHPC, they're welcome to join this collaboration. Serbia has joined the EuroHPC just recently, and they will also join this regional machine, as well as Romania, we discussed yesterday. So this is looking ahead in the terms of technology, specific technology with HPC. This will be installed in the technological park of Lavrio. So the current activity that we are dealing with here is the NIFOS Europe project, and you will hear many different things about this initiative in the coming days. It's a NIFOS Europe conference. So here we have 15 member states and associated countries. Altogether, there are 22 partners. This is the current, geographical spread of this current initiative. And all the partners are present here, and this is really nice. NIFOS Europe, where does it fall in the European cloud, the project landscape? So it's one of the four regional projects, and we actually have a session. I think it's the next session is where all the regional projects in Europe will present their achievements and results in a specific session. So thank you for the representatives of regional projects for coming here to present that. So these four projects cover the whole expanse of Europe, beyond member states, of course. And the aims of this call that NIFOS Europe was funded through was the coordination of IOSC-related national initiatives was the one main aim, and the second aim of the call was to support the prospective providers to provide services to IOSC. So, again, you will hear many, many results of this project throughout the conference, but two key results that we have here is that the National Open Science Cloud initiatives were set up in a majority of the countries in the region, and all of them will be having a National Open Science Cloud initiative by the end of the project. So this is a good policy and governance-related result, and you will hear about this much more in the first session of tomorrow. And the second main result, I would say, is this onboarding of different services to EOSC. So here, we have 36 repositories, 31 thematic services, 21 generic services, or 8 core services, and altogether 58 providers. So these are the numbers. Just for comparison, these numbers, when you compare them to the current EOSC catalog, this is 1/3 of the EOSC catalog. So what is available now when you go to EOSC, 1/3 of this is the size of our catalog here, yeah? So this, I think, is a very serious contribution of, very concrete services provided into pan-European cloud. So these were different technologies. So, we looked at different, platforms which facilitate open science, starting from the networking, basic networking through high-throughput computing grid, high-performance computing, cloud, and so on, and now supporting different aspects of open and collaborative work. Now, beyond the platform, we are looking at setting national regional agendas. Yeah, so all these partners in the consortium, they have very, very close relationships with the national agencies. Yeah, and many of them were partners also in different projects. It is very important to have this relationship in order to secure the buy-in to the pan-European initiatives. Yeah? So it's very important to engage the countries to be part of these European initiatives, and it's also important to secure national funds. So not all of this, of course, is funded by the Commission. A lot of funds comes from the national states, either from national projects or actual physical, tangible contributions to membership fees of different pan-European bodies. Yeah. So national agencies support national projects, they support the contribution to the European bodies. Yeah. Then another aspect of this collaboration on the policy level is setting up the best practices, program guidelines, organizational guidelines for national research education networks, for national grid initiatives, for HPC initiatives, for national open science cloud initiatives. So this is a very important governance and policy aspect of things. And then also setting joint collaboration agendas. So we had a number of memoranda of understanding signed between the partners in different fields. One example was this high-performance computing memorandum of understanding, which provides access to high-performance computing installations across the region for in cross-border use. There was also a long-term strategy signed by the 10 ministries in the region sometime in 2010, I think, on regional cooperation in service provisioning and support for this regional service provisioning. So there were some really concrete results. This project was particularly called Sierra AI, which was supporting this kind of policy-level collaborations. Also, it is very important that there is a balance between national, regional, and EU funds and actions. Yeah, and the regional dimension is important, yeah, very important, I think, and we will hear about this importance of the regional dimension in the next in the next session as well, yeah, to support the countries which are on the path to EU accession, but also to prevent the brain drain from the region. Yeah? So national and EC support and for the countries of the region to join the pan-European initiatives is key, yeah? Such as EuroHPC or EOSC, and the continued EC funding for the region, matching this national funding that I explained that is available through national projects and national contributions, it is crucial to keep the momentum and to prevent the two-speed Europe, which we're seeing often, and again, Istvan was referring this in his speech about the performance gap in terms of technology, but also in terms of funding. Yeah, so to conclude this regional technical cooperation, build a state-of-the-art of EU in infrastructures and services, and it's used by cross-border communities. And this technical collaboration is very important. So one of the reasons why René is also here as a technical coordinator of EOSC Association, CTO, is because we like to keep a very concrete set of results there in whatever technology we work with. So I hope that you will see all these technical developments in this conference and also give us your view of the EOSC technical vision. Yeah? Very important that these services are used by cross-border communities, and you will see, and really one of the highlights of this, if not the highlight of this conference, is the actual scientists and researchers and PhD students coming and presenting their results and plans, how they're going to use the services that we provide for their work. Yeah? So there are at least four, if not five, user-centric sessions here. So this regional cooperation is also a platform for joining, as I said, wider European initiatives and providing the opportunity to be more inclusive. These kind of initiatives, in my opinion, and after these two decades of work with all these people, these initiatives are more efficient for smaller countries than the bigger pan-European initiatives, where often the countries lose their voice and they're not able to really show the full potential. Yeah? So this is a very good platform for that. Yeah? And of course, these initiatives are pieces of much bigger puzzle. Yeah? And this bigger puzzle is really how to increase the talent retention in the region, yeah? In the countries in the region, so people don't have to immigrate and work elsewhere. Yeah, ease the digital divide between the countries of the region and the rest of Europe. Making the benefits of information society and open science available to all citizens. And this pursuing of regional efforts really brings together the technologists and the scientists and people across the borders, and somehow also, you know, contributes to regional political stability and cohesiveness, which is also a very important thing for our region. So it was really, I mean, a pleasure to work with all of you for the last 2 decades. I quit. No, I'm joking. So for the last 2 decades. And yes, so, you know, thank you all for contributing in such a wonderful and constructive and friendly way to all this work. Yeah. So we cherish our human network and we want to enlarge it, and we're open to all kinds of collaborations. So just regarding NIFOS, these are the contact details. So thank you again.